It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. We are back for another edition of the Coming Out Lounge. I'm your host, Rick Clemens, and today we're going to go explore kind of the sexy side of coming out and being truly you. Because, you know, as everyone thinks, being LGBTQ is all about sex. Well, not exactly. That's pretty much a wrong idea. There's sex involved, but it's about being the real you. And that doesn't necessarily mean you can't be sexy and love yourself. In fact, you can love yourself, your whole self, and that means even loving the way you fit into a beautiful cheeky booty package pair of underwear that really shows everything off. In fact, I'd encourage you, as you're coming out, whether you're gay or straight, whatever this coming out journey is you're going through, when you're feeling at your lowest, go buy yourself a really sexy pair of underwear. You'll be amazed at what happens when you do that and show your sassy, sexy, authentic self off. And it just so happens that we have somebody to really help us explore the sexy side of being you. His name is Andrew Christian. And for some of you that are big gay underwear fans, you're going to know that name immediately. And Andrew found himself at the age of 19 really wanting to express himself in the fashion industry. And with just a few $100 in his pocket, he left his home in Fresno, California, headed to LA, and soon found himself deep in the heart of the fashion industry expressing himself. And now he's become a high fashion icon with a penchant for making really beautiful, sustainable, sexy underwear for men. So I want you to snuggle up. Get comfortable, grab a pair of your boxers, your brief, your jocks, whatever it is you feel comfortable being here, hanging out on the Coming Out Lounge with me and Mr. Andrew Christian himself. And let's dive right in. Welcome to the podcast, Andrew. I'm really excited to have you here, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Awesome, man. Let's kind of dive right in. I know you're a huge gay advocate, human rights advocate, and you're really using your fashion sense, your fashion icon standing and everything to really continue to promote those rights. And I'm just curious for you, what's behind that penchant for just really being that kind of human in the world?
Well, you know, I figure I have a voice, I have a platform, so I might as well try to use that, you know, to do some good. You know, I grew up in a time where, you know, there weren't as many gay rights as we have now. And, you know, we've come a long way, but there's still a lot of work to do out there. There's still a lot of discrimination, negativity, you know, thrown towards gay people. It's definitely, you know, a lot easier for kids to come out these days, but, you know, there's still some anxiety and, you know, pressures about that big moment. So, you know, anything I can do to try and make that easier for people so, you know, they don't have to go through what I had to go through. You know, I'm willing to do that.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest challenge is right now for our LGBTQ community? And I know that's kind of a loaded question, but everybody I interview has a different perspective. And you being where you are in the industry and having the voice that you do, what do you see as one of the biggest challenges?
You know, I think there's still a lot of, you know, hate and discrimination out there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's, you know, a backlash to, you know, Prop 8 passing or whatnot. And I think a lot of it is, you know, like closeted discrimination.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that's the thing that scares most people is when they don't understand and they haven't been educated about what it means to be gay and that it's not just about sex. It's about who we are at the core. That discrimination just doesn't seem to dissipate. And I think that's where we have the biggest opportunity right now as voices to continue to educate people. You know, as you've been in the industry, I'm sure there's got to be some things that you found that have been hurdles to kind of step over, even being in the fashion industry, which most people would make the assumption, oh, if you're a man in the fashion industry, you know, automatically there goes the gay flag up, like you got to be that. But I'm just curious, is the fashion industry kind of similar to Hollywood in some ways where you get some backlash about LGBTQ stuff, or is it in general more embracing?
I would say the fashion industry is a lot more embracing than the movie industry. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been gays in the fashion industry forever. So as far as that, I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah. I'm curious, though, as you started to enter into the fashion industry, did you find parallels about coming out as a fashion designer to your own coming out journey? I mean, were there similar struggles about saying this is what I want to do, and people started pushing back and saying you can't do that? Or was it a pretty smooth transition for you to say this is how I want to show up in the world and this is what I want to be doing for a career?
You know, I would have to say it was a lot easier for me to say I was a fashion designer and this is what I'm going to pursue than coming out as being gay. Mm. You know, I think that was more of a struggle in my own head, and it was more of a bigger deal in my own head than the actuality of coming out. People are actually pretty cool with it.
Yeah. How old were you when you did come out?
I was 19 when I came out.
And so you talk about the struggles in your own head, and I know for many of the people who listen to this podcast, part of what they always look for is, well, so what was it like for someone else? I know for me, and it's kind of interesting, you and I actually came out at exactly the same age. I happened to have gone back in the closet because of some pressures from family and stuff. I know for me at age 19, some of the biggest struggle was, it was in the 80s, and we were still really battling this kind of quote unquote, don't ask, don't tell mentality. And that all of this was, you know, an abomination, and it was dirty and all that sort of stuff. So it was something that really held me in the closet. I'm curious, what was some of the stuff that was holding you in the closet?
Most of it was just in my head, how people would perceive me. What are they going to think about me? They're going to think I'm different. They're going to all of a sudden not like me, which was, you know, totally the opposite of what happened. Mm-hmm. My coming out was kind of like a non-event when I came out to my family. My mother was like, I know, I've known since you were a little kid. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me? You would have saved me a lot of trouble here.
Yeah. Angst and anxiousness and Right. Weird stuff going on at school, I'm sure. So as people are going through this journey, as you had those struggles in your own head, what became the turning point for you?
I guess just sort of, you know, exploring that side of my life and becoming friends with, you know, more and more gay people and, you know, just accepting it myself.
Mm-hmm. How much was the move to LA a part of that acceptance? I mean, because you pretty much, you know, were coming out at that same time as you moved to LA, correct?
That was a big part of it. You know, I came out a little bit after I moved to LA, but I think moving to that big city, you find that environment of like, you know, there's a big gay community here. So I became exposed to more and more gay people and became more and more comfortable with it. You know, West Hollywood is an all gay city. There's, you know, gay restaurants and gay cafes and gay bars. And I mean, I wasn't going to gay bars at age 19, but Sure. You know what I mean? You sort of become involved in that community.
Yeah. As you go around the country, I know I recently saw some pictures of you being in the Carolinas at Pride and stuff like that. Do you encounter a lot of people who are like, oh, I wish I had that kind of support? Do you hear that often? Because I know I do as I'm traveling. They really need that community support, but sometimes it's really hard to find.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's hard for a lot of these people to find. But doing all these travel, that's really great now because there's so many Pride celebrations around the U.S. Now, you know, you're getting a lot of these smaller cities and towns having Pride celebrations, which I really like going to because when you go to these towns, everybody comes out for this Pride because they don't take it for granted like L.A., San Francisco, New York does, you know, and you really see the whole community out there at these Pride events. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah. When you go to the Pride events, I know there's a piece of, you know, promoting your brand and stuff, but what's the bigger picture for you of really showing up at those Pride events? What is the impact you're trying to make by being there?
You know, I really like meeting young people and, you know, connecting with them and, you know, letting them know that, yeah, there is something better out there for you. You may not be happy where you're at right now, but, you know, there is a way out. You know, I did it and you can do it too.
Yeah. What is some of the things that you, if you were going to, you know, and I'm sure you've had some of these conversations with some of these young people, what are some of the pieces of advice you give them as they're trying to navigate through those closet doors?
You know, educate yourself. You know, there's going to be people out there who are going to come at you and tell you, you know, being gay is bad and, you know, whatnot. So you have some ammo against them and just love yourself and believe in yourself.
Yeah, I think the loving yourself and believing in yourself is huge, because oftentimes that may be all you have, especially if you're some of the more remote areas of our country where you don't have access to a community, or you do feel like you're standing out there all on your own, and you look around and it's like, oh, I don't think there's anybody else like me.
Right.
It's really one of the most impactful things that you can do is to really begin to love on yourself. So let's talk a little bit about your brand and where you're going with it. You've had huge success, obviously, with the underwear brand, especially in the gay male community. I'm sure that was something that was like, wow, I didn't expect that. Or was that something you did expect as you started bringing that brand to life?
Well, I started the brand to basically, you know, make clothes for myself that, you know, I would like to wear, stuff that wasn't out there on the market.
Yep. You did a lot of club wear, right? You were kind of,
yeah.
That's where you started. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was definitely, you know, aimed at the gay market. So, yeah. You know, that wasn't a surprise. You know, so I started with clothing, club wear, and then, you know, evolved over the years and, you know, added little pieces into the collection like swimwear. And then, you know, when I finally added underwear, that's when the company just like exploded and took off, which was a nice surprise.
Yeah. Oh, I know. My husband loves his Andrew Christians. So he's an avid fan of him. And I'm an avid fan of seeing him in them. So I can't complain there. But
there you go.
As you have continued to expand the brand into this market space, is there plans to eventually go beyond the underwear just for men? Are you looking at, you know, doing stuff for women as well? Or are you going to stay tight with your niche and just keep going?
We want to stay true to our customers. And, you know, I don't want to dilute the brand by, you know, doing stuff for women and, you know, whatnot. We're really good at what we do. And, you know, we want to keep doing that. You know, we're kind of going back to my roots too. I've been adding more sportswear into the collection, which is what I really like doing. We're doing a lot of accessories now. So, you know, we are expanding the brand in those directions.
Sure, sure. I think it's really powerful. I mean, as a coach, one of the things that we always talk about is stay true to your niche. You know, just stick with that niche, and that niche will always serve you as long as you stay very focused. Doesn't mean you can't go wider with who you're serving within that niche, but, you know, you start and you stay within that.
Right.
So I'm curious if in general or along the way, if you have found that gay men who are big fans of your underwear, if they come and tell you stories about what wearing the underwear has done for their self-esteem, I'm just curious if you've had any of those stories show up.
I have had one really touching story. I believe I was at Seattle for their Pride a few years ago. This guy came up to me and he was like, I used to weigh 300 pounds and, you know, I fell in love with your brand and your underwear and I lost 120 pounds. So I could fit into your underwear.
Wow.
So I could fit into your underwear brand. So just the fact to have that kind of positive impact on somebody's life, like when I set out into this business, that wasn't my intent, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, just to have a healthy influence on somebody's life is great.
It's amazing. And what I said in the intro about, you know, encouraging people as they come out to go buy a really sexy pair of underwear, I actually do that. I actually encourage my clients to do it because I think it's something about stepping into that you that you've always been. But, you know, a lot of times they say the new you, so to speak. And so if you're going to step into the new you, let's do something new. And I encourage clients to, you know, get a nice sexy pair of underwear, to get a nice new outfit. When they, you know, are coming out or in that moment, they're going to come out something that really gives them confidence and gives them that boost of self-esteem to say, this is truly who I am. So,
right. Right. And you said it, like, I think underwear definitely gives people a lot of confidence.
Yep.
You know, it's not necessarily something that people can see, but you know it when you're wearing it.
Well, yeah. And I think it's like that, you know, the phrase dirty little secret. I like to look at underwear as that beautiful little secret. You know, it's that thing that really empowers you, makes you feel really, really great. I know for me, that's one of the things that I feel when I'm in a pair of underwear that number one fits really well. Number two, that just has that little spark of intrigue that, you know, maybe I haven't shown up in the bedroom with my husband or he hasn't seen me put it on. And then suddenly, oh, wow, I didn't know that you had those, you know, and there's always that interesting little thing that starts to happen. So I'm curious for you, how do you define, you know, for you being sexy? What is that for you? I see your beautiful pictures. I've seen lots of pictures of you. You always present yourself really as just this really classy guy that I love watching the suit pictures and the casual shirt pictures. But what's sexy to you, if you could define what that is?
I'm a leg guy. Like, I love, like, guys who have, like, really, like, toned and shaped legs. So that's, you know, super sexy for me.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
Like some nice calves or something.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, there's something about legs, you know. It's kind of interesting to me. And especially legs in the right kind of shorts. You know, I'm one of those guys that I really do like legs. And I don't like legs that I can't see. You know, I don't like really, really short shorts, but I like the mid-thigh shorts where I can see a little bit of that thigh and you know, some nice muscly legs. That's always something that I find really sexy. Do you get asked a lot about why the underwear thing took off? I'm assuming that's probably one of the interview questions you get all the time, is why that underwear line took off.
I think a lot of it had to do with timing as to why it took off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few years before I released my first underwear collection, I did try to do underwear and it didn't really take off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was timing. I think men were ready for fashion underwear.
I think so too, because, you know, I'm thinking back about the first time I really started seeing your underwear. And then I also overlay this into, because of the work that I do, I started doing a lot more work with men, not just gay men, men in general. And there's almost like a permission that started showing up in the last few years for men to start to really explore other sides of who they are, whether that's being, you know, the way they dress, the way they wear their hair, how they show up as more sensitive, how they show up as more vulnerable. I think all these things have started to happen from my perspective, at least in the last 3 to 5 years, we've seen a whole lot more of that. And I think it's that permission base to give men that opportunity to say, yes, this is who I want to be and this is how I want to show up in the world.
Right. I think guys aren't afraid to be sexy anymore. I think before that, there was a little bit of, you know, it wasn't cool, you know, I'm supposed to be a dude. But, you know, I think a lot of, like, gay male culture has spilled over into straight male culture, you know. Straight guys are taking care of themselves now, you know, getting their eyebrows waxed or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever it is, you know. You know, it's funny. I went the other day. I'm a fairly furry guy, but the one thing I don't like is the fur on my back. So I was getting my back waxed. And luckily, I'm to the age where that doesn't have to happen a whole lot anymore because we've finally, like, tamed the mane, so to speak. But I found it really interesting when I walked into my gal who does my back that there were two other guys sitting there. And so I was the third guy in line and I got in there. And as we were talking, I said, so you don't have to tell me, but, you know, I'm curious, those two guys that were here and she knows me really well and I've helped her with some personal stuff. And I said, were those guys gay or were they straight? I'm just curious. And she goes, oh, no, they're straight. And I thought, uh-huh, here we go. We're starting to see this starting to happen more and more. Guys not being afraid to say, this is how I want to be. This is how I want to take care of myself. I think it's really cool.
Right. I think you can even see that in the evolution of people's bodies and what is deemed, like, beautiful and whatnot. Like, straight male culture, you know, they want the abs and they want the muscles and,
yeah,
you know, it's just changed over the years.
Well, it is. And it's changing. And I think the acceptance of, as you said, what becomes sexy. And I kind of had to laugh a couple of weeks ago. I was at the gym and, you know, I'm pretty much kind of, you know, under the radar when I'm at the gym. But I always have my ears open because I'm always, like, trying to just understand the male psyche and everything. And two of the guys that are always there when I'm working out, I know they're both really straight. And I heard one of them say to the other, well, you know, yeah, you got a belly, but it's kind of sexy. And I thought, okay, that's kind of interesting to hear these, you know, very straight bros having that conversation. But it was just fascinating to me to go, guys are starting to do that and they're starting to be okay with that. In fact, there's a big movement in how men are saying stuff to each other. You know, I've had some conversations with my heterosexual guy friends about, you know, so what does it feel like when I say to you, I love you, man? And he's like, well, you know, I get that. I really get it. And these are guys that a few years ago, probably if I'd said something like that to them, they would have kind of like, okay, are you trying to pick me up or what's going on there? You know, so I think there's a lot of shift happening in our beautiful male culture. But I have to share a story with you. I found this really interesting. A couple weeks ago at the gym, you know, we're in the locker room, you know, getting down to our skivvies, heading to the showers, and one of the guys took off his shorts and he was wearing a pair of your underwear. And I thought, oh, isn't this interesting? I know I'm going to be interviewing Andrew in a few weeks. And as soon as he took them off, the guy standing next to him kind of looked down and goes, well, where'd you get those? Those are kind of gay looking. And of course, it was like, you know, I kind of bristled a little bit. And the guy looked at him and he goes, well, they may be gay looking, but my wife thinks my ass looks really good in them. So basically, fuck you. And I just had to laugh. It was really funny to hear this guy just kind of go that direction.
So right.
It was awesome. Really awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. So I'm curious. I've got another couple of questions and then we'll wrap everything up. If you felt like you could, you know, you do have a huge impact already in our community by everything that you do and everything that you stand for. If you had to like bump that impact up, what's the next thing for you as a person or maybe for you as your brand that you'd really like to be able to do in our gay community to help us move things forward?
You know, like within the past year, I've been really involved with the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center here. They do a lot of great work. They have a huge scope of things they do. But one of the things that's really near and dear to me is they have a lot of youth outreach. Mm-hmm. In particular, you know, there's a lot of homeless gay youth in Los Angeles County, and they provide safe beds for them at night. They only have like, I think, 60 beds available. There's something like 1,300 homeless LGBT youth in Los Angeles County. So there's a huge need there. So, you know, a few times a year, I'll donate clothing to them, new clothing, you know, from my company, just so they have something like cool and new and fashionable to wear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it does great things for their self-esteem.
Yeah, it is kind of shocking. I was going to say amazing, but it is kind of shocking how many LGBT youth are out on the streets. I know I've done some work with a organization here in Riverside County, and I would say well over 60% of the kids that come through the doorways are LGBTQ. And it's really heart-wrenching to see that. You know, it shows what we know on the surface, that this is still an issue, that these kids are getting booted out of homes, they're getting told they can't be who they are, and then there they are. They end up out on the street with nowhere to go, so to speak.
Yeah. Or they move to Los Angeles and think something's going to happen, and there's, you know, they don't have an education, they don't have a support system. So Center really, you know, tries to help them with that and, you know, try and get them on the right track.
Sure. Awesome. So the last question I always ask as we wrap up interviews is basically the question of, you know, if you could give anyone, it could be some of those homeless youth we were just talking about, but anyone who is one of the listeners who may be, and most of my listeners may be hiding still in the closet, this becomes a very easy medium for them to get support, or, you know, maybe they're just starting to come through the doorway, or maybe they're just on the other side. If you could give them some piece of advice for their journey, what would you like to leave them with as we wrap up here?
Love yourself, believe in yourself. You know, the truth is inside you. You know who you are, and don't let anybody tell you any differently.
Wow. I love that one about the truth is inside you. That's very, very powerful, really powerful. Well, Andrew, I want to say thank you so much for joining us here on the Coming Out Lounge. It's been great. I can't wait to see what keeps coming from you and your beautiful brand and all the work that you do to really help people feel very wonderful about themselves and have that self-esteem and feel sexy and just be cool with who they are. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks so much, man. And look forward to seeing what's coming down the pike.
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners. I wanted to ask you a question. If you could take stress out of your journey, be more content in who you are, and find ways to do some of the most difficult things that you need to do as you come through the closet doors, would you do it? I bet the answer is yes. Why do I know this? Because I have been getting requests from listeners and clients or prospective clients about finding ways to just address certain things in their coming out journey. Some people don't want to work for a long time, and I totally get that. And that's why I've designed some brand new coming out coaching one-on-one sessions. These are very focused, topic-specific sessions. For example, maybe you're looking at coming out midlife and how do you do it? Could be that you're already out, but you're not completely out and you want to talk about how do I do this and come out at work. Could be that you're having trouble even accepting yourself as a gay person. And might there be a possibility that you're really struggling with your sexuality and your religion? Depending on what you're looking for, I've designed 9 powerful, highly focused one-on-one laser coaching sessions that you can choose from. Each session goes for 90 minutes. We stay specifically focused on the topic at hand. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So now that you've heard about this, how would you like to go check them out? Well, here's how you do this. Go to thecomingoutcoach.com. On that page, you can scroll down. You'll see stuff for the book and for some other offerings, but then you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button, and it will take you to a page that describes each of the 9 offerings that I have. If you happen to be listening to the podcast right now, just look over to the right-hand side of the show page, and you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions right there. Again, just click on that button and go check out these new offerings. So, what do you think? Isn't it about time that you stepped out, you stepped up, and you stepped into resolving whatever the biggest issue is in your coming out journey? I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, and I can't wait to work with you one-on-one.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more, and tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.